Gracious Eternal Father, we bless and honor you this morning once again for sparing our lives to witness the beginning of another week. We thank you for seeing us through these past weeks, since the beginning of the month. Lord, we are grateful. We are starting the beginning of the end of the last week of this month, and we are so grateful to you. Thank you, Eternal Father, for your love, for your favor, for your protection, for your blessings, for your grace that you have bestowed upon us, that we can look back and say we thank you. For many like us, Lord, started this just concluded week, but today is a different story. But here we are, Lord, healed and hearty. Lord Jesus, in our right senses, to come to your house, woke up this morning, our hearts think towards your house, get prepared, and here we are by your grace. We have come as your people, as you have bidden us, but we are needy people, and you are so sufficient enough to bless us to meet our needs. We look unto you, Father. Except you bless us, Lord, there's nothing we can do. And except you help us, Lord, Master, we cannot help ourselves. This we recognize this day as your word will be going forth and your blessings will be released through the preaching of your word, confirmed by your spirit. Lord, may none of us be left out. Oh God, shower your blessings upon us. Give us spiritual upliftment, Lord. Give us deliverance in our body, especially for the sick ones. Master, speak to the heart of the weak. Eternal Father, they may receive strength. Let the backsliders recognize your love to them. Lord, they may think on their ways and turn their feet to your testimonies. Master, Savior, all that we desire from you, may you plant your faith in our heart that we might be partakers of the blessings. Thank you, Eternal Father. You have not called us to come to you in vain. Lord, you are so gracious, Master, and you have made your blessings available. Help us, Eternal Father. At the end of the day, Lord, let your name be glorified. We commit the entire service of the day to you. Give us wonderful testimonies. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. We welcome ourselves again to the Sunday school as we open our Bible to Genesis chapter 22. My mind just went to that this morning to continue while I'm suspending answers to questions on the seas. So I want to follow a little bit on this, the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. As we start from verse 7, verse 14, and then Psalms 46, verse 1. Praise be to God. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the month of the law it shall be seen. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. You can please be seated. We are grateful to the Lord once again for making it possible for us to assemble together in his name. All right, let me Just have this set here. We started this, you know, we continue with it. Let me just say we continue with this on Wednesday. I just felt that I wouldn't want to break it again so that we can follow it. Because it was a single sermon the prophet preached, so I don't want to take it bit by bit. So I felt that constraint yesterday, and I had to decide on that. So last Wednesday, we were trying to remind ourselves. We did a little revision, which I will not go back to. We started this topic some few weeks back. We spoke about Jehovah Jireh. We spoke about Jehovah Rapha extensively when we started. So yes, last Wednesday was just a kind of a review to remind us of what we said during those periods when we spoke about that. But nevertheless, I will still kind of give a little review. From the sermon, paragraph 18, the seven compound names of Jehovah. The prophet said that these seven names of Jehovah, they are also the redemptive names by which Jehovah is known. The prophet said the seven compound names of Jehovah. In other words, it was what Jehovah is made up in this seven redemptive name of his. What he is made of. The seven compound names of Jehovah. Paragraph 18. These seven compound names, which we mentioned them earlier, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Displayer. Have it. It's not working. Sorry. So the seven compound names of Jehovah. So in other words, it was what Jehovah is, what Jehovah is made up. So God is made up of these seven names. And these names are how we can approach him in relation to our needs. Needs for salvation, our needs for healing, our needs for deliverance, our needs for protection, our needs for provision, our needs for whatever. If the Lord has put us here, and remember the prophet made us to know that when God was all alone, he had in his mind to be a God, to be worshipped. He had in his mind to be a redeemer. And for there to be a redeemer, there must be a sinner. He had in his mind to be a healer. And for him to be a healer, there must be sickness. To be a provider, there must be a need. So all these redemptive names call for his attributes. Praise be to God. So the prophet told us that God's attitude towards the people from Eden back to Eden is wrapped in these seven redemptive names. God's attitude, how God relate with the people. God's reaction, God's disposition to the people. His disposition towards salvation, his position towards healing, his position towards protection, provision, leadership, guidance, everything is wrapped up in these seven names. So, this name, the first one being Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide a sacrifice. The second one is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. The third one is Jehovah Manasseh, or the same thing as Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. Then the fourth one is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. The 51st one is Jehovah Roy, the Lord, our shepherd. The sixth one is Jehovah Tzidkenu, which is the Lord, our righteousness. And then the seventh one is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Or the present help in time of trouble. The prophet said, now the Shammah is the one I am going to speak on from Psalm 46. The prophet meant to say Psalm 46. And I want us to understand something about this. The prophet says Psalm 64. But he wanted to say Psalm 46. Because when he read Psalm 46. A slip of tongue is not an error. There are instances where the prophet misquoted scripture. And he made us to know that, and it's a virtue of age. It's a function of age. In other words, it was the age that the prophet got into that began to, he wasn't able to retain some things in his brain. Because he made us to know that he didn't need to write any scripture down earlier than that time. He said now that he has hit 50, he now found out that he has to be writing those scriptures down to guide him in what he's going to do, because most times he forgets. So if somebody is just reading this, and this is what critics stand on, and said that he quoted Psalm 64, a prophet, should he not know the word the psalm is? If he's speaking by inspiration, should he not know that it's supposed to be, that inspiration should have spoken Psalm 46? This is just knowledge. And connected to memory. And then, you know, slip of tongue several times. Even in the seal, where the prophet talked about 77,000 rather than 7, he's talking about 700 rather than 77,000. And the people ask him questions, he said, well, you are right, 7,000, not 700. Yeah, just slips of tongue. I just felt like, talking about that. So that some people don't get stumbled. Because when you read sermons, you might find things like that. And that the prophet may mention a certain scripture, but what is really different from that? You have to locate it by yourself. It just slip of tongue. It's not a misleading something. So, the reason the prophet said he was going to emphasize Jehovah Shammah is because of his personal experience. That, you know, actually brought Jehovah Shammah into reality to him. So that's why he said he's going to talk about this, but we are not going to, that will be the last thing we are going to talk about. I also have something to say along that is also personal. So, we have talked about Jehovah Jireh, talked about Jehovah Rapha. So by God's grace, we'll be looking at Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord, our banner this morning. Praise be to our God. And that is the third one. Jehovah Nissi. That is found in Exodus chapter 15, where Moses named an altar, the Lord is my banner. You really may not find Nissi there. You don't find the word Nissi in the scripture, but you will find the Lord is my banner. But that is the Hebrew word for my banner. So, after God gave Israel victory, that is in Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. And he reads thus, that's Exodus. You can display it for us. All right. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And so the interpretation of it is, the Lord is my banner. Praise be to God. Now, several scripture or quotation of the prophet, and they will find in the Bible also establish God being Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. First, the prophet emphasized the meaning of Jehovah Nissi further in some other sermons, and that is in Jehovah Jireh, preaching 1855, February 22, paragraph 18. Here the prophet says, 55:02-22, paragraph 18. The prophet says, may God in heaven bless his words tonight and his people together as we approach on the wall, talking about Jehovah Jireh. Now God has seven compound redemptive names. Jehovah Jireh is the first. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. The date of the sermon, 55:02-22, paragraph 18. So, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide himself as sacrifice. Jehovah Rapha,
The law thy iledi and on down Jehovah Nisi, the buckler, the shield of peace. And then in Psalm 18, verse 2, the psalmist also recognized God as this by an inspiration. Was also able to know that Jehovah is my buckler. In Psalm 18, verse 22, why was the other one not displayed, the psalm? Huh? Does not display. Let's have it. Does that mean you? Okay, Psalm 18, verse 2. Let us go with it together. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. This is Psalm. The Psalm is saying this. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. This is David recognizing God as Jehovah Nisi, my buckler. And in the sermon that I quoted that they couldn't display, which is Jehovah Jireh, paragraph 18, the prophet says, Jehovah has compound names, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and Jehovah Nisi, which is the buckler, the shield of peace. You see? And David recognizing him as my buckler. And buckler is a kind of a shield, which the prophet refers to as the shield of peace. You know, it's my shield. You know? And then we have Psalm 18, Psalm 18, verse 30. Let's look at that also before I read this now. This Psalm 18, verse 30 is also found in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. It's also found there in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31 by David also. Remember, it was the account of David in 2 Samuel, you know, that we have. And then this Psalm 18, verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. He's a buckler. That's Jehovah Nisi. He is our shield. He is our fortress. He is our strong tower that wakes off the incursion of the enemy, the visible and the invisible. David found himself in understanding Jehovah Nisi in the course of the battles of life that he went through. And that was why by inspiration, he was able to tell us this, that the Lord is my rock on whom I stand, the unshakable rock. The prophets are not the rock of Gibraltar, but the rock of ages. And my fortress and my deliverer. David had been in the hands of the enemy. Recount the time that David became a fugitive because Saul was fed with wrong information about David. And David, you know, because he respected the anointing of the Lord upon Saul, he ran away from Saul. Ordinarily, if David and Saul were to be left to face combat, in a few minutes, David will finish him. Because God taught David's hands to battle. He didn't have stature like Saul had, but God taught his hand to battle. And so, he knew the power that he had. He knew that he was also anointed. That, how will I be facing the anointed of the Lord? But Saul didn't have that understanding. Saul wanted to just, because Saul became jealous. From the moment David was anointed, the Bible told us that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. And what came on him? an evil spirit. So from that moment that David was anointed, David actually in God's sight was the king over Israel. Saul was just a figurehead, you know, for the people to see. But God was actually dealing with David as the king of Israel. But he hasn't handed over power to him physically. Physically. But as for spiritual control, David had it. Are you with me? Because the spiritual part of it was the battle that David was winning for Israel. Saul was just a figurehead. They were losing battle constantly. When he ran David away from Israel, that was the end of it. At an instance, David ran away. One time, David, some people will give information to Saul, you know, spies, you know, evil spirit that cause evil spirit enter into people and causes division between people that are friendly. Look at the evil spirit that came upon Saul that made him to hit and jet. Well, the problem actually started, and human beings caused that. When David killed Goliath, and the people, the women began to sing. Who can tell me the song that the women were singing? That caused problem for David. Can somebody rise up to tell us? Maybe among the sisters. God bless you, man. Exactly. Saul killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000s. Saul had understanding. He looked at it. Thousands. 10,000s. David. Saul. And as at this time he was the known king. He was anointed, unknown, yet to be installed. After killing Goliath, the women were singing, David killed his 10,000, Saul killed his 1,000. Then David told his loyalists and said, what remains? Is it not for the kingdom to be given to him? If David has killed his 10,000, that means he has won the loyalty of the people. That means the next thing now is that he will topple me. David, so from that moment, set his eyes on David. Meanwhile, David was in the palace of Saul, assisting him. And remember, the moment the anointing of God came upon David, the spirit of God left Saul. Evil spirit came on him. And while David was with him in the house and David was doing some other things, Saul took a javelin and he darted through David. The Lord who has anointed David, who has not finished with David, protected him. He dodged it. And the arrow hit the wall. David looked at it. What have I done? After all, I'm loyally serving this man. And at the end of the day, David began to be suspicious about Saul. At another instance, when evil spirit was upon Saul, David would play music. Because he knew how to handle the instruments. He would sing, he would play instrument. Those evil spirits will leave Saul. And that's why in playing music, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in playing music, when we play music under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, things happen to the congregation. And that is kind of worship. That's why God says that these are the worshippers that he's looking for. So that his presence will come down and he will minister deliverance to the people. So, Saul didn't appreciate those things because the evil spirit was upon him. So finally, Saul set his eyes upon David. Set his eyes upon David. He began to pursue after that. David has to leave the palace. And Jonathan was his close friend. He said, look, your daddy is after my life. Jonathan said, no, my father would have told me he didn't keep anything. He said, well, then they look for a son. I said, okay, you are supposed to appear before, there must supposed to be a meeting. I was supposed to be seated, in the meeting today. And, you are going to do me a favor. I will be absent. So if your father acts after me, it means this. If your father did not ask after me, then it means this. So Jonathan and David, you know, work with that. So when the meeting heard, David didn't appear. Jonathan was there. And then the father asked Jonathan and said, where is David? He said, where? He took permission to go and say, so. And he said, and the response of Saul was negative. So from there, Jonathan knew truly that his father was after David, that David had said. So he began, Jonathan began to cooperate with David in protecting him. Because both of them, they swore allegiance to each other. So finally, David had to become a fugitive, running from one place to the other. He didn't have rest. And that was why if you read the psalm, you will see the prayer of David. Those who are driving me away from the inheritance of the Lord will not have peace. That will not allow me to rest, to settle down. You know, he was praying the prayer of Jeff vengeance because they were operating under the blood of bull and animal. A Christian today cannot do that. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. It's the prayer of the believer. Praise be to God. If you still find yourself praying that your enemy will perish, then you haven't got the spirit of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. And I will saw what happened. So, God being the protection of David was displayed when Saul began to pursue after David and David ran to a particular place. And I was saying David ran to the mountain. And when Saul was pursuing after him, he got tired and he got to a plain below the mountain and he settled down there. After settling down, he became tired together with Abner, is the captain of his host. Are you following me? And there they settled down with his water bottle, with his weapons and everything. And then Abner struck the sword of Saul on the ground. Both of them slept. But God placed deep sleep on both of them. David saw them on the mountain and he came down with some of his people. Well armed. And he got there and looked at them. If David didn't fear God, he would have killed Saul there. And he looked at Joab, the captain of the host of David, told David and said, let me strike him once. I won't strike him twice. Let me waste this man. David said, what do I have to do, you son of this? He said, one day he will find his Waterloo. He is not going to die by my hand. And then they took the sword and took the water bottle. Then David and his men went back to the mountain. Then when David knew that he had truly escaped, he screamed. He said, what did I do? What is my crime? What have I done to you? After all, this is what I have done. Are you supposed to pay me by pursuing my life? Then he cried to Abner. I said, Abner, you are not a faithful servant. Some people came to the host and they will have killed your Lord. And you are sleeping, you slept like a log of wool. A wood. And he stood up. I said, who is that making noise? The man that will have been a dead man. He slept like a log of wood in that place. And at the end of the day, David said, where is the water bottle of your Lord? Where is the sword? Then Abner began to look up and down. Then David raised it to him and said, see. He said, if not because I fear the Lord, both of you, you and your king, you'll have been dead. God was on the side of David. David truly understood the protection of the Lord for him. At another instance, Saul responded. He said, my son David, is that your voice? He said, forgive me. He said, it's the enemy that's steering against you. He said, from today I will not. And David said, it's all right. Then David went. At another instance, Saul got another information that David was on a certain mountain. And Saul came to the mountain looking for David. And David was watching him. David hid in a cleft of a rock and there was an opening. God brought Saul to the front of David where David could use his sword and just pierce him. I will kill him there. David, that thought ran in the mind of David. If I just strike him like this, condemnation, E. Davis at.
That why did I have to think about that? The anointed of the Lord. Like, I will never touch him.
Then David concluded in the manner that he will meet his waterloo one day. One day, he will get his own death from somewhere. And then David caught part of his clothes as an evidence that God has been on my side. And God has handed you over to me several to kill you. Because you are against me, that God is on my side. God is not on your side. And then he caught part of his clothes. When David caught it, that was when he felt condemnation. That why did I do this? So after that, David saw when that he couldn't find David because God protected David. And then Saul finally, when he discovered he couldn't find David, he came down from the mountain as it was. When David came out on the mountain, as crypto him and said, what have I done? What is my offense? Did I not help Israel? Did I not bring honor to you? When you were disgraced that you could not face Goliath, was it not the Lord that helped me to defeat the enemy of Israel? And since then I become your enemy? He said, if not because I fear the Lord, it's the Lord that delivered you to me today. I will have killed you too. As you are looking for my life, but I've spared your life. Your life was precious in my sight. He said, so the Lord will make my life to be precious. The Lord will preserve me. Then he brought out the cloak of Saul. He said, as an evidence, to let you know that the Lord is on my side and he has handed you over to me, but I will not kill you because of the anointing upon you. He said, but one day you are going to find your death. He raised the cloth up. Saul looked at it. He said, David, you are righteous. I am the wicked one. From there, he turned away.
David knew that the Lord was on his side. So with the deliverance, with the protection of God, handing over his enemy, even his own person.
It's just like the federal government looking for somebody. Federal government declaring somebody wanted and the president himself with his army pursuing the person up and down. That's how it was. Will he have rest? The Yoruba used to say something. Once Ijoba Amuni Mogu. Have you ever heard of that? No matter how much powerful you are, government will catch you. They will neutralize your juju. Did they not catch you, Boho? With all his Hamlets and every other thing that he was shouting the other time. Did they not get him arrested? Where did they get him arrested? In another country. So the juju he had can only operate in Nigeria, not in another nation. Is that what it means? There's nothing to rely on those things. If God doesn't want me to be seen, if there is a danger, and he doesn't want anybody to see me, and I'll pass through that place, he knows what to do. He's our shield, our buckler, our fortress, our protection. Jehovah Nissi. Praise be to God. I want to read from Conflict Between God and Satan. Paragraph 164. I won't wait for this, can you? Why? The prophet said the one spirit. Hey, will I be able to get this? Alright. No, let me read Eshadai 60:08-02. Paragraph 125. Brother, I tell you, you can't dig deep enough to hide from one of them bombs. They will blow a hole in the ground for 150 miles, 200 feet deep. That's atomic bomb and all these other things. How are you going to get there down there? If you build a iron cage or building 500 feet deep, the concussion will break every bone in your body. It is got in such a place, there is no hiding place down here. You could cry to the rocks, but I'm telling you, there is a bomb shelter that lasts. It is made out of feathers under its wings. Amen. There is the shelter, the everlasting shadows of his love and glory. That is the place of refuge, the place to flee to. Praise be to God. And the Bible says in Psalm 91 that they that
abide in the secret place of the Almighty shall dwell, they that dwell in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, secret place of the Most High, under his divine protection, shall abide under the shadow of the wing. The prophet said, is a feather, the feather of his wing, the feather of the Almighty. That is the best refuge that anybody can keep be when there are problems here and there. That is the only place you can run to. And the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and they say, God bless you. By God's grace, we continue in the evening. Let's bow our heads. Our eternal Father, we thank you this morning. We are very grateful and thankful to you, Lord, for the blessing of your word that came to us. Our prayer, Lord, is that you make yourself known to us the more. These redemptive names, the prophets say, this by this you show your attitude to the people based on their needs. When we are in need of protection, when we need your shielding, when we need you as our shelter, you are the present help in time of trouble. Thank you, our Father. Lord Jesus, we pray for more revelation of your word. Prepare us for the main service. Lord Jesus, water our appetite, eternal God. Master Savior, let your spirit quicken your word to our heart. Have your way, eternal God. Take all the glory as we commit the rest of the service to you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.